Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Coastal communities from Beaumont to Corpus Christi is home to 7% of the state's population, but it accounts for nearly 40% of the Texas economy, thanks largely to energy growth, port activities, and other industrial commerce. So the impact of Harvey is going to be a major disruption to the state's economy, and dealing with this is the role of the insurance industry, and also all those people's homes up there. People have to live in these communities in order to provide that workforce. How well prepared was Texas with the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association? We're talking about that this afternoon with Seth Chandler, who is a professor at the University of Houston Law Center, and he is an expert in this area. Professor Chandler, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So quickly, the synopsis, and we'll try and we'll dig down a little bit deeper, but how well prepared do you see TWIA?
Medium. It's probably got enough money to pay Harvey claims, so I don't think people should be particularly concerned that TWIA will be insolvent as a result of Harvey. But, and there's a big but, its cupboard will likely be bare, and that is going to cause serious problems as we go forward, both for the rest of this storm season and into the following years.
When you say bear, tell me more.
Well, TWIA right now has roughly $1.3 billion in cash available to pay claims for Harvey, and it has borrowing ability and reinsurance that should cover it up to about $4.9 billion. And we don't know yet, but I think that's enough to pay for Harvey. Here's the problem. Once TWIA's cash is wiped out, it still has to maintain a $4.9 billion funding stack. It does not have the ability under the law to get that much money by borrowing. Its borrowing authority is limited. And so the only way it can get that money for next year is to buy reinsurance, that is insurance for insurance companies. That is a very, very expensive proposition. And what it's going to mean is that in addition to having to pay back the loans that TWIA is going to have to take out this year to pay off Harvey, it's going to have to pay through the nose for reinsurance. That's a long-run problem.
Now, your assessment that you feel that TWIA is mediumly prepared, to me, that's news. I mean, I had not heard that anywhere else, and I, going back through old articles trying to find out where TWIA was, kind of felt like there was a lot of effort to prepare, a lot of interest in preparing, but still a lot of resistance. People saying that the rates were too high, a lot of the requirements were too harsh, and that they wanted to soften all this going into, even just recently, going into this hurricane season. So I find that to be a relief for you saying that it has enough money.
Yeah, we are in some sense, I think, lucky because of exactly, not the people who got hit, but had Harvey veered 10, 12 miles to the left and slammed directly into Corpus Christi as a Category 4 storm, we would then be looking on average, according to TWIA's own data, at something like a $4 or $5 billion loss that would pretty much cap out not just TWIA's cash, but all of its ability to borrow. Instead, to the detriment of Rockport and Port Aransas and poor people there, it went into an area that is less densely populated. And the wind field got reduced fairly quickly. We can talk about flooding, which is a whole other story. So I think TWIA is going to have enough cash to pay off people who have legitimate Harvey claims, of which there will be many. There are already 10,000 Harvey claims that have been filed against TWIA of its 250,000 members. But we don't really know for sure what the total damages are going to be.
I've heard that TWIA policies are kind of thin. You're not going to be made completely whole. Is that generally true?
Well, they have deductibles, like, you know, all of our policies do. For people who have homes, they should be, you know, if TWIA behaves honorably, and I have little doubt that it will, they should be made reasonably well off. There are businesses that are not going to have acquired enough insurance from TWIA and will have to have looked for other sources for it. But I would say TWIA coverage, once you have the policy, is decent coverage for wind loss.
And so the problem, say TWIA is a quasi-state agency. Why do we have Texas Wind Insurance Association? Why do we have that?
Right. So in this very free market state, we have the oddity of essentially a government-sponsored government. It's not operated. It's quasi-public, as you say, insurance company. It was established in 1973 following what was then the rainiest hurricane Texas had ever experienced, Hurricane Celia. And at that time, it looked like insurers just didn't want to write windstorm insurance on the coast. It was just too risky. They didn't really know what the risk would be, and that was going to stymie coastal development, which, as you say, has been a great boon for Texas and for the nation. So they established this program. The issue then becomes a political one. You have people on the coast who want low premiums. They say, oh, the risk isn't that great, and other places have tornado risk. And then you have people inland who basically say, why should we pay to subsidize people on the coast? We have poor people here, too. You don't subsidize my homeowner insurance. Why should I subsidize your homeowner insurance? So this conflict grew. What I would say is that TWIA historically, and I know this makes my friends on the coast go crazy, its rates are not high enough, actually, to pay for the risk. And during lulls in hurricanes, like we've had for the past 8 years, they have the upper hand and tell me the rates are too high. And right now, what Harvey reveals is that, in fact, the rates, as actuaries also agree, are probably a little bit too low. And so even before Harvey, we were in difficulty.
So the rates being too low, and I've seen a number of maybe they were 30% too low. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, 20 to 30%, I think, is sort of where people are. And the truth is nobody, absolutely nobody knows for sure. Nature is too unpredictable, but that's the best estimate.
But we've seen 5% increases to the rates every year for the past almost 10 years, except for this last year, there was no rate increase.
Yes, that's true. And unfortunately, that's, according to the experts, that left things still 20% too low. Let me tell you what's going to happen, though, next year, I think. If I'm correct that Harvey is going to greatly deplete TWIA's cash on hand, that's going to place additional pressure on reinsurance, which is going to end up costing TWIA policyholders money. And if TWIA has to borrow, as I fear it might, to pay fully for Harvey claims, that the interest and the principal to pay back those loans is going to fall primarily on TWIA policyholders. So they could be looking at an additional anywhere from 8 to 15% just for paying back the money that they're borrowing to pay off Harvey.
But so there's also talk that we could see insurance rates go up across the state because of Harvey, even though we were not impacted by it.
Yeah, I think that is likely. And certainly in the coastal area, insurers, they don't like to lose money. And so I would not be shocked to see some substantial rate increases, not just for immediate coastal policyholders, but, for people further inland who have had losses.
Moving forward, with so much destruction, damage, rebuilding having to take place, the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association, TWIA, can also put in place tougher regulations, ones that are similar to that Florida has. So in the rebuild, we're prepared for the next Harvey.
That's true. There are various structures that are grandfathered under the TWIA system. You built your structure at a time when what you did was perfectly acceptable, but now we have tougher standards. Things that are rebuilt are going to have to comply with tougher standards, and we might get tougher still. I think the thing, though, that people also need to keep in mind is that when you think about Harvey, catastrophic as the wind losses have been, the major losses from Harvey are going to be flood losses, and those are going to be quite substantial.
Right, we'll get into that in just a little bit long in a couple of minutes, because that's going to take some a lot of explaining to do. But as we look at the with people who don't have insurance, they were saying that that TWIA's rates were so high that there were people were dropping it, in quite a high number.
I know it's really a very difficult problem. Live on the coast, your neighborhood is the coast, you love the coast, and yet living on the Texas coast is, you know, a risky proposition. There are storms that periodically hit it. Yes, we haven't had one for 8 years, but they do come. And so those rates, I know they are painfully expensive, and I know it makes it very difficult for people to afford to live there, and that people sometimes drop coverage because of that. And unfortunately, I think what people just have to come to grips with is that there are many, many advantages to living on the Texas coast. A lovely climate, birds, seashore, it's a nice place. But there are times when it is very, very expensive, and insurance prices have to reflect that.
We're talking about the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association. This is the insurer of last resort, a quasi-state agency. It's being impacted pretty hard by Harvey. They're going to be cutting a lot of checks. Do they have enough money? We heard that, yeah, they probably do have enough money, but that means there's going to have to be some backfill for TWIA. How will that happen? How could it impact your insurance rates? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. If you got a question or a comment, number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source from Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about the Texas Windstorm Insurance Agents Association, and this is an operation that's going to be vital to the recovery after Harvey. This is the insurer of last resort for many people. This is the insurer that they can afford, and they're going to be cutting a lot of checks to helping the coast bounce back. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We're joined by Seth Chandler. He is with the University of Houston School of Law and its law center, and an expert in insurance law. So the flood insurance is another issue, and that is they're in debt by $24 million, the National Flood Insurance Program, and they need to be re-upped by Congress before the end of September, right?
That is exactly right.
What does that mean?
I think it means some challenges ahead, okay? We don't know what the flood losses from Harvey are yet. I've heard estimates of total insured losses of $100 billion. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go to the Katrina level of $150 billion. Much of that loss, tragically, is uninsured, and so the people who bore it are just going to have to suffer. But the National Flood Insurance Program at present has roughly $7.6 billion available to pay claims. We've got $100, $150 billion worth of losses. I don't know what percentage of that is insured, neither does anybody else, but it makes me nervous because, given the environment in Congress these days, I really do not envy seeing the National Flood Insurance Program turned into some sort of political football as people here suffer, and I am concerned about that possibility.
Well, you know, the Gulf Coast is full of red states. They aren't going to – do you think that's going to make a difference?
Well, there's a tension, okay? It's full of red states who don't believe that government should be subsidizing things. And so historically, the red states have not been that big – in general, on providing large subsidies and loans to the federal flood insurers. As it happens, Texas and Florida have about 50% of the overall flood insurance exposure, but they only have 4% of the senators. And so you can kind of see the tension here, and where the rest of the country, places which are not as flood prone, is not eager to subsidize places in the country that are flood prone. We're, of course, going to argue that we're all in this together and we all help and, you know, various states get various benefits. But what I'm concerned about is, you know, it looks like getting things through Congress these days is very challenging, and I would hate to see people's checks held up because of a political battle in Congress.
We have John Pollock joining us now. He is the general manager for the Texas Wind Insurance Association. And John Pollock, welcome to The Source. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. We're busy here, as you might expect.
Yeah.
We've been very busy here since last Wednesday when we activated our catastrophe plan. And we've just finished this morning setting up a couple of our mobile claim centers out there to facilitate providing claim services to those folks that have been impacted, particularly in the Rockport and Port Aransas areas, as well as Corpus.
How well positioned is TWIA to honor the claims that will be filed? I mean, it's going to be a lot of claims, a lot of money.
Right. We've got, to date, roughly 24,000 claims have been filed. We have funding of total funding of $4.9 billion. I think that that's more than adequate based on what we are forecasting at this point. We have a fair amount of that cash, and we can quickly ratchet it up additional cash with assessments of the industry for another $500 million. So that would bring us up to roughly $2 billion before we get into the next level of funding. I'd point out that even during Ike, which was more problematic for the organization back in 2008, and we've made a lot of changes since then, but we never ran out of money. We never were able to completely fulfill our financial obligations, and we don't expect that any policyholder needs to be concerned about that this year either.
So the assessment for TWIA is that it's financially sound?
It's financially sound based upon the legislative funding mechanism that was provided in Senate Bill 900 in 2015. Again, we're focused right now in terms of making sure that policyholders have the opportunity to get their claims handled very quickly and efficiently. We've got boots on the ground out there in two different locations. We've got people out there to help them file the claims. We have all kinds of alternative mechanisms to report claims, either in person through an 800 number, through their agent, or online. You know, when we look at what we've done since Hurricane Ike, which is everybody wants to paint us with that 2008 brush, you know, we point out that we had five full-time claim employees in 2008. Today we have 50. We've just added an additional 200 call center reps. We've got almost 1,400 adjusters on the ground with another 1,000 on standby, compared to only about 800 for Ike. So operationally, we're in great shape to fulfill our mission to help the policyholders of the affected areas.
So obviously there is the – go ahead, Seth, is that you?
I was wondering if I might ask Mr. Pollock a question.
Sure.
Which is, what are your thoughts on how much of the $800 billion in actual equity in some sense, not part that you've borrowed, the $500 million that you've borrowed, but the $800 in the CRTF, do you think that's going to be taken? $800 million in CRTF, the Catastrophe Reserve Trust Fund. Do you think that's going to be killed off by Harvey? And if so, I know it's too early to really start thinking about this, but next year, getting financing for next year so you can get up to that $4.9 billion stack is going to be a challenge.
Well, we don't need to get to $4.9 billion. That's actually in excess of what we're required to be at. The $4.9 billion represents a 1 in 125-year event. Senate Bill 900 okay. requires us to be at 1 in 100, which should be somewhat less than that. But again, right now our focus is on making sure that we're taking care of the people today. We're going to worry about that issue if we have to down the road when it's more appropriate.
So looking at down the road after this, the checks are cut and you're able to satisfy the claims that people bring to you, the concern is, okay, now we got to get the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association muscled up for the next disaster. And so what do you have to do there?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what you mean, muscled up.
You got to build up your coffers.
Okay, so you're talking about the financials. Well, we clearly have and expect to have additional funding remaining. We don't expect to go anywhere near through that $4.9 billion. And so any other thing that occurs between now and 6-1 of next year, we still have what's ever remaining from that $4.9 billion number. We will start looking at the beginning of the year in terms of our funding structure and what we will be needing, and we will be reaching out to the reinsurance market, cat bond market, et cetera, based upon that. But I think, as Seth mentioned, you know, it's really too early. You're only 4 or 5 days into this, and I haven't seen any carrier out there that's able to estimate their own numbers. So it's really very premature to figure out, you know, if this is going to be a major issue or not. It's going to be a challenge because our funding structure is a little different. And we do have some requirements that other carriers do not. But I'm confident that we'll figure out a way to get it done.
Every once in a while, I see a column written by some conservative think tank saying it's time to do away with TWIA and let the private insurers take over. Do you think that private insurers would be able to do what you're doing now? John Pollock, general manager of TWIA?
Well, I'll tell you, there are 36 other plans in the United States, and they all operate very similarly to us. So I'd say the conventional wisdom in those other 35, 36 states would say no. At the end of the day, you know, we are not a government agency, but we're an instrumentality of the state. Excuse me. And so as such, we are best prepared because we've been focused on this for years and years. We started in 1971. Historically, all of these began in the late 50s and early 60s, and all of them are functioning and structured almost identically to the way we are. So it would be surprising to me that, first of all, that the private industry would want to. And given the nature of this, that they would want to. And if they were going to do it in this state, I'm not sure why they wouldn't just do it across the board. And since we haven't seen it happen in Florida, which is another big plan, Massachusetts, or North Carolina, it's hard to imagine that everybody would think that there is a more efficient structure to do it than what we have today.
And quickly, John Pollock, what is your view from, you know, from TWIA about the recovery? How do you think the coast will look after Harvey 5 years from now?
Well, I think that with everything else, as long as we can get people taken care of, paying their claims, I think that they will rebuild. There is a lot of the economy that comes out of that area, and so there's a lot of financial incentive for businesses to reinvest. I think one of the key issues is going to be the amount of damage which is going to be covered versus not covered. There's a lot of flood, and typically flood is not covered by either TWIA or by the private market. So it'll be up to the National Flood Insurance Program as well as the government to determine, you know, how they address that issue.
All right. John Pollock is the general manager for the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association. Seth Chandler joined us. He is an expert in this area, expert in insurance law. He's with the University of Houston Law Center. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.